This morning, I want to talk about the importance of letters. It seems to be that the practice of writing letters has disappeared. It's more convenient to text or to tweet or to email or to call on our cell phones than it is to write a letter. And, you know, today in our fast-paced world, convenience is important, you know. Get it done and move on. But there are times when permanence is required, when it's important, and when it's lasting. I chose two examples to make my point. One personal, the other biblical. First, the personal example. Cheryl does not know that this is coming. I did not include it in the sermon summary printed in the bulletin, which she proofreads for me. In April of 1967, I was a 20-year-old boy learning to be a man, courtesy of the United States Army. From my barracks in a basic training company in Fort Benning, Georgia, I wrote her a letter. Now, there's a longer story behind the letter, but for brevity, I will say that the letter was written to ask for a second chance. She wrote back saying, yes, I still have that letter that I wrote to her. She saved it. Over 50 years later, I still have it on my desk in my den, affectionately known as the cave at home. That letter changed the course of my life. Paul wrote letters. Those letters, written more than 50 years ago, went to Christian communities across the Mediterranean Sea. These letters spread and shape the faith and the beliefs of their readers. And they continue to do so to this very day. And most of us, when we do write letters, write them to either people we know or have relationships with through others, or those with whom we conduct business. Writing seems to create a sense of both importance and permanence. We can believe it. Today we read the opening chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. He wrote to people, many of whom he did not know, he'd never met, living in a city that he had never visited. But yet he seemed to know about them, and he had something important to share with them. They were so important that he called them his brothers and sisters. In this first chapter of Romans, Paul summarizes the good news of the gospel. So what is the good news, and what were the Romans to do with it? And what are we to do with it over 2,000 years later? Let us take a look at Paul's letter for answers to these questions. Paul begins by identifying himself as the writer of the letter. He also states that he is a slave of Christ and that he had been chosen to be a missionary. And his mission was to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, so what is this good news? Now, we get a hint from the reading from Matthew. After Jesus called Matthew the tax collector, Matthew invited Jesus to eat at his home, along with other tax collectors and sinners called notorious swindlers. In the Living Bible, some of the Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples why Jesus would eat with those people. But Jesus replied to them that those who are sick need a doctor, not those who are well. Jesus came to call out not the righteous, but sinners. For those who did not believe themselves in need of a relationship with God or do not see themselves as separated from God, they will not understand Jesus' message. But for all those who desire to know God more deeply, they will listen to Jesus' call on their life. Jesus came to bring sinners back to God, offering salvation to all who would believe it. Paul says that this good news has been promised by the prophets long ago, and that the resurrection of Jesus proved the good news, that he was the Son of God, risen from the grave. Now, at that time, there were competing messages of good news. The word gospel is known also in the wider Roman imperial context in which Paul and his audience lived. For example, a late first century inscription called the Priam Calendar inscription celebrates the birth of Caesar Augustus, calling it the beginning of good tidings. Augustus is a savior sent by divine providence for the benefit of all mankind. Now, if you had gotten that message, and now you were getting Paul's letter, it might seem pretty provocative. Paul was writing this letter to Christian communities in the imperial center and proclaiming that his good news concerning Jesus, the Son of Israel's God, is the real gospel. Now, by implication, that's not good news for Augustus, the son of the deified Julius Caesar. But for those who believe it, this is truly good news. God, through Christ, has reached out to both Jew and Gentile to bring them to heaven. Now, Paul tells the community in Rome that he hears that they're being talked about. Now, that means that the good news is spreading as more and more people believe it. I think that means that their behavior was noted by unbelievers as being somehow different. The message of Jesus had, in fact, changed the way that they lived. It's amazing, as both Jesus and Paul are, by birth, from the periphery of the empire. And now the message of salvation through the good news of Jesus has come to the very center of the empire, and it's growing. And even more amazing is that Paul is not ashamed about proclaiming the good news of Jesus. It is God's way of bringing all who believe it to heaven. In many early Christian communities, Paul writes that the God who has been proclaimed by the little nation of Israel is keeping a faithful promise to bring life, abundant life, to everybody. And he closes by quoting Habakkuk, "The man who finds life will find it through trusting God." We're all made new when we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us. Letters are important. My letter to Cheryl and her response, She said yes. Changed my life. I'm also convinced that letters change lives, that Cheryl and I now write letters to each of our grandchildren when they graduate from high school. The letters are long and handwritten. They tell the important story of our love and our hopes for them. Paul's letters helped to spread the gospel and change the world. The message of God's saving grace offered to all of us who believe it was confirmed when he went to the cross, died, and rose from the grave. His story was spread first by word of mouth and then by letter. It's Paul's theology that explains the glory of the cross. Think of it. The shameful execution on the cross saves those who believe it. His resurrection proves the truth of God's promises. If you or I were the only people on earth and believed it, Christ died for us to save us. You know, we're all letters. We show that we believe it through our words and through our actions. Be not ashamed in whom you believe. Tell your story. Share who you were before you believed it, how you were changed when you believed it, and how you are living since you believed it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we pray that, like Paul, we will boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ to all with whom we come in contact. In him there is life and light, hope and love. We know that the gospel of Christ is the power of God for salvation, to bring all who believe in him, who died and rose on the cross from the dead. To him be all praise and glory, world without end. Amen. Yeah.